This is the United States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford, and on this week's episode, we'll be focusing on the USDF programs for youth and young adults. The 2012 London Olympic Games team rider and former FEI young rider Adrienne Lyle will be sharing her success at the 2017 Dutta Corporation's US Dressage Festival of Champions. The current chair of the USDF Youth Programs Advisory Subcommittee, Catherine Chamberlain, will be here to talk about her involvement in the USDF Youth Programs. And we'll hear about young horse training from USEF young horse coach Christine Traurig. But first, we'd like to remind you that the views of the host and the guests of this USDF official podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDF or its members. We have just two items of news for you this week. On the final day of the Dutta Corporation's US Dressage Festival of Champions, Olympian Casey Perry Glass and Gertlingaard's Dublette clinched the overall Grand Prix Championship title with a total score of 71.575% after earning a 73.325% in the freestyle. And the USDF would like to congratulate Elizabeth Affeld, overall winner of the 2017 USDF IDA National Quiz Challenge that was held at the Intercollegiate Dressage Association Nationals. Elizabeth, who is a member of the Lake Erie College's 2019 class, was entered in the lower training division. As the grand prize winner, she will receive a four-week internship at Hilltop Farm in Colorado, Maryland. And now for our first guest this week. Adrienne Lyle has been developing an impressive string of elite horses since the retirement of Wizard, who was her partner at the 2012 London Olympic Games. Adrienne had three rides at the Dutta Corporation USDF Dressage Festival of Champions recently, and she took the USEF Intermediaire 1 Dressage National Championship. She's here now to tell us about those rides and what it means to her in the training of these partners and the summer ahead. Adrienne, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, congratulations. That was quite the Festival of Champions for you.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Well, not only did you win and become the Intermediaire 1 champion, national champion, but also took third as well on the Gelding Harmonies Duval. But let's talk about those two rides, first of all, Adrienne, because you've got quite the stable of horses coming up now that maybe not everyone has seen until you got to the festival, right? And I think we'd like to know a little bit more about them, because one's a mare, one's a gelding. Let's talk about Horizon first, because I think she's got a sweet spot there for you. You have a soft spot for her, don't you?
I sure do. Well, I had, like I kept saying, it was so fun not just to have three great horses at the festival, but to have three horses that are all so different. I have, you know, first of all, a mare, a stallion, and a gelding. And not only that, but they're all different types as well. And Duval is a little bit greener to the show circuit, the one that finished third. This is only his first season that we did a couple CDIs, and he's had very limited one or two national shows in the time before that. But he's been in my life for a long time. We've just kind of been patiently working away at home. We got him at turning 5 years old. He was bred by the Malones at Harmony Sport Horses in Colorado. And he was still out in the field, not broke yet when we found him. And I fell in love with him for the first time we brought him home and worked with him. And so they were able to make an arrangement where we could purchase him as a five-year-old. And he's just been building away at home ever since then. And I think he's going to be an incredible horse.
The ownership is a partnership with Duval's Partners LLC, isn't it?
It is now. Yes. Yeah. We are actually just in the process of forming a syndicate, not even still fully formed. We're still looking for one or two more syndicate members to come in on him. But we are just forming a syndicate. Right now, it's mostly kind of Northwest-based. It's a really fun group of people. And so I'm really excited about that. Salvino, my stallion, was bought by a syndicate. That was my first kind of introduction to the syndicate. So I was able to model Duval's ownership after him now. And so I'm excited to have this whole group involved in the journey with him.
What kind of personality is he? And tell us a little bit about how he trains. What is like in and out of the barn?
He is a busybody. He's my perpetual motion machine. Like, the hardest thing in the whole test for him is to hold still for those 5 seconds in a halt. But I love that energy about him. I mean, he is a go-getter. He will never be tired. He'll never say no. But you have to really engage his mind, right, and really make his mind understand what you want, because he tries so hard that if he makes a mistake or he thinks he can't do it or thinks he doesn't understand, he will get really flustered and he'll get very upset.
And how did that performance there at the Festival of Champions compare with what he'd been producing for you through the winter season?
I was really happy with his performances at the festival. You know, I think all his scores were in the 70s, and he's had, like I said, limited show experience, and just the glimpses of what I was able to get. You know, he's a big horse. He's still finding his balance and the self-carriage and all that stuff. But I think there's still so much more in the tank that he has to give. But I was thrilled. It's the first time he'd ever even competed outside of Florida. I mean, we're only ever showing at Global, so this is a different venue and different crowds. And I thought he handled it all incredibly well.
Now let's talk about the mare who took the championship for you, your sweet mare. Tell us about how your partnership with her began and how it has evolved with her.
About 2 years ago, and it evolved, you know, it's kind of just how your things evolve naturally through stuff that happens in life. Debbie and I had decided we'd start taking our horses and our clients down to Florida for the winter, so we based out of, a friend hooked us up with Betsy Giuliano and her barn, Haven Safe Farm down in Wellington, Florida. So that's where I took Wizard and the Thomas's horses at the time. And so I got to know Betsy through that process, just being at the same farm. She got to watch our riding and our training and our daily care of the horses. And when Betsy was ready to make a rider and trainer switch, it just was kind of a natural thing. So she approached us and I got to see the mare, and I always thought she was special. And so when I took over that ride, it's been an incredible partnership since then. She's a really special mare. She's talented, but she has the biggest heart, I think, of any horse I've ever ridden. I mean, she tries her little brains out every single ride, every single time she goes in the ring. And I feel very lucky to get to be a part of her life.
And how did her performance there at the festival compare with what you've been getting from her over the winter at Global, Adrian?
I was really happy with her. You know, she got our career high. We got a 75 in the freestyle, which is our highest score we've ever gotten. And she's just becoming such a little machine in there. You know, she's getting to be very consistent and very confident, and to where she's not only producing consistently clean tests, but getting really bold and expressive tests as well.
And you have someone to thank for the music that you stole for that freestyle.
I stole all my music for all my rides. So Catherine Bateson was kind enough, and Jane Clark was kind enough to loan us their music. It was from their lovely mare Daya that Catherine had shown, and I think won at Gladstone with that same music back in 2009, because I remember watching her. It was my very first time there at Gladstone. So she loaned us that music for Horizon, and Beth Ball from California loaned me the music for Duval's freestyle, and Salvino's freestyle was borrowed from Wizard's old music. So it was a team effort to get my horse to the freestyle.
All right, well, let's talk about the stallion as well there, because you clearly don't mind what you ride, whether it's mare, gelding, or stallion. Let's talk about his performance at the festival and what we can expect from him in the future.
Yeah, he's another one that we have had limited show experience. He's only done one CDI this season in Florida. We did a handful of national shows before that. The whole year before that, when he first came into my life and was purchased by the syndicate, we chose not to show him. We tend to err on the side of staying home and training and really getting that perfected before we bring him out. You know, some people I'm sure were wondering why the heck we weren't out there showing. You know, we bought this horse, but we took our time, and I think the patience is paying off. You know, he had to learn a new system and a whole new method of everything, and he's another one that I think we've barely begun to tap into his potential. I mean, I think he's going to be a phenomenal horse. He got another career high there at the Festival of the 76 in the freestyle, and that was the first time he'd ever even done a freestyle, and I think he loved it.
Well, and the music?
The music, that was borrowed from, that was an old freestyle that I used to do on Wizard.
Okay, that was his, right?
By Terry Gallo, yeah.
Okay, Terry Gallo.
That is like my favorite. Yeah, Terry Gallo did that one, and it's still my favorite freestyle to ride, too. I mean, I know the music so well. We had to edit it down because his canter stride was so much bigger than Wizard's. We had to edit the music a little to adjust to his big stride, but I always love riding to that music, and the crowd loves it. The crowd gets clapping, and they all get into it. It's just really fun, engaging music.
All right, well, you sound as if you're on a high with these three rides that you've got right now, and obviously a lot to look forward to, Adrian. Tell us where they're going next this season. What's your plan for the rest of the year for each of them?
Our plan is still emerging. I'm going to be going to Europe at some point for probably a month or, 4 to 6 weeks this summer. For sure going to take the Stallion and do some Grand Prix TDIs over there. We're still sorting out the details with a small tour horse about which shows we can go to, if it makes sense to bring them this time, or if they have a little break at home and, take a little vacation for a month, and then maybe they go over to Europe next year. So that's all still in the works.
Who else do you have in the barn that we should know about? How many horses are you currently training?
Those are my top three ones that are just for me to compete. We have a lot of lovely client horses in the barn as well, but those three right now are the ones that I'm focusing on.
Okay, well, that sounds like you've got your work cut out with those three.
Yeah, and that being said, we're already always looking. You always have to look years and years ahead. Like, it took us years to build up the string that we have now, so we are always looking ahead for, it's time for me to start looking for another young horse and, maybe talking about trying to get some people to syndicate a young horse, which is an idea I've been interested in. And, you always have to be thinking ahead and planning, because it takes so long to develop them that you can never just rest on having, a good horse and think that it's done.
For sure. Well, you heard it here on the USDF podcast. Adrian Lyle is looking for more horses for the future.
Exactly.
All right, before we go any further with the future, Adrian, let's talk about the past, because you came up through the USDF youth programs, didn't you? Tell us a little bit about background there and what it did for you, what you took away from being involved with that system.
Yeah, I loved all those youth programs. For me, we were out in Washington, actually Whidbey Island, Washington, a very remote, certainly not a dressage hub by any means. And so it was really a great way for me to connect, with the resources, with the community, to have some guidance, because I really had, to be honest, no idea what I was doing back then. I mean, luckily we had some wonderful moms in the Region 6 and some wonderful coaches that kind of held my hand and were like, oh, this is kind of what you need to be doing now, And so it was really a good tool to get connected with the resources that I needed to get connected with. And I got on the first youth team. I did the juniors championships in Paxton Farms back east, and that was through the United States Pony Club. They actually funded a team to go. So that was kind of how I got turned on to all the USDF youth programs, and when I really realized how much was there to tap into if you took advantage of it.
So what age were you then when you got involved with the youth programs?
I was probably around 15, I would guess.
Okay, and how long were you involved with them?
1999 was my first the North American Junior Championships at Paxton Farms, and then I think 2001 I did the Cosequin Junior Team Championships when it was at Devonwood in Oregon, and then I think it was 2004 that I made the Region 6 Young Rider Team. So it spanned at least 5 or 6 years there being involved with those programs.
Yes, for sure.
And then went on to do the Brentina Cup, so I kind of did all the steps on the way up on all sorts of different horses.
Yes, you certainly did. Now, what about clinics? Did you take advantage of the USDF youth clinics as well?
Yeah. And I did not get, I never had a full-time trainer or anything growing up. I'd take lessons when, my parents would let me take lessons, or when I could raise enough money to get a lesson on my own. But so that any clinic of those opportunities were hugely beneficial, not just to ride in, but to get to sit and watch all these other, were just incredible riders to me at the time. It was really inspiring for me, who was just sitting out on a farm by myself trying to learn dressage, and riding around. So it was great to get to pool all those resources together and see that all.
For sure. Now, who were your mentors, your idols when you were younger?
Well, I always admired Debbie, which is how I ended up over here. But all the young rider girls, at the time, Lindsay Anderson and the Irvings, all those guys, I just thought they were such incredible riders. And they ended up being great teammates too when we went back to Young Riders, and it was just a really supportive, really encouraging group.
Well, clearly you've had your successes along the way, all the way up through senior ranks. So what would you say to young people listening to this then, who might be considering getting involved in these programs or going to clinics, and what it did for you?
I think any chance you have to gain more education, you should jump on, and that always, that never stops. I think you can learn something from watching any clinician and watching any training system, even if you just take away one little tidbit from it that could be helpful. the more you're able to immerse yourself in the education and educational opportunities, the more you're going to benefit from it.
And that clearly helped you in selecting the trainer that you really wanted to work with, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's important to see lots of different training systems and figure out what one you identify with want the most, or what one, you know, you'd like to pursue the most, and then it gives you an avenue to go follow that one.
Well, it's clearly worked for you and continues to with Debbie McDonald over there in Idaho. And we expect to see a lot more of these top three horses that you have coming up through the ranks. Congratulations again on winning the championship there at the USEF Festival of Champions.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program, Adrian.
All right. Thanks for having me.
And our next guest is Catherine Chamberlain, who has been very involved in the USDF youth programs throughout her junior and young rider years. Kat has been a great example and a role model for other young people on how to give back to the sport. Hi, Kat. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Nice to hear you again. And just tell us a little bit about where you're based now and your business, because you're now full-time, aren't you, training and got a lucrative business there in California. So tell us a little bit about it.
I'm 22 now, so I am riding as a professional. I have a training business up in Temecula, California. I'm partnered with Nikki Clark at Dressage Unlimited. It's been really great. We really help each other out. She's been my eyes on the ground now for the past several months, and it's been really rewarding transitioning as a junior young rider to the professional ranks now and learning the other business side of things and how to deal with clients, and just really getting my feet wet and trying to make a successful business.
What horses do you currently have that you're showing, Kat?
The main ones that I'm showing right now, I have a 10-year-old PRE stallion named Rosaloso. He's just about to debut at third level. I also have a 5-year-old Danish Warmblood named Don Armstrong that I've been showing first level. I just started showing the owner of our barn's 4-year-old named Jack at his first show a month ago in Del Mar. And then I have my own mare, Sophina, that I'm working on getting up to the I-2. I just sold a Vestova and Beltevreden. Vito is his barn name that I've been competing in Young Riders in 2015 and then the Small Tour last year. And he just found a really great home over in Nevada with an adult amateur. So that's been great as well, seeing him really transition up the levels and then be able to find a really loving home like that.
Well, we want to talk about the youth programs that you've been involved with here at the USDF, but we should remind everybody that you came up through the junior young rider ranks tremendously successful at the FEI North American Junior Young Rider Championships to start off with. I mean, that in itself, you collected an armful of medals from that event itself, but also, you know, around the country, you've come up through the ranks, through those junior young rider ranks, very successfully, and it's helped you transition into the adult competition world. Let's talk a little bit about how that all began and how the USDF youth programs did in fact help you along the way there.
Yeah, so when I was 12 years old, I decided that I started wanting to ride dressage seriously. I've been riding since I was 9 and had tried out different disciplines, and then at 12, I really just thought, you know, dressage is the one for me. I really love it, and this is what I want to pursue. My mom did the Young Rider program when she was a teenager, and also my aunt, who is a horse trainer, did Young Riders. So they knew about the program. They had both participated in it, and we made it a goal that I should try to be able to participate in the North American Championships if I could as I got older. So our first goal was to find a horse that could help me along with this journey. Able to lease a horse at 13, and that's when I participated in my first USDF program. It was one of the Junior Young Rider Clinic series, so that was kind of my first time getting my feet wet with the programs. We were able to find a young horse for me to purchase. He was a 5-year-old. We got him when I was 12, and he's the one that really took me through all of the programs as I went up the levels. And if you kind of look back at my history, before I really participated in the North American Championships and the Festival of Champions and that sort of thing, I did start to really get more involved in my GMO and just the different programs that USDF offers as far as education. So I think that was really helpful to be able to start to get that education young. And that really helped me build towards actually being able to ride and compete in the programs.
Well, you've always been really invested and engaged in those programs and in specifically in education and furthering your own career and knowledge of the sport. You've always established a very good foundation up through the levels. And I'm interested in what you were hoping for when you joined these programs, why you selected the ones that you did and what you particularly got out of them.
Yeah, I think I was definitely very serious and very focused when I was young. So I remember there were days where I would just sit down at my computer and look up all the programs that were available, also different scholarships and grants and whatnot that could help me on my journey. I think education was definitely a big idea in my head that, okay, this is what I need to start out with. Obviously, you know, if you don't have the background in the education, you won't be able to get very far. So with USDF, you know, with the Junior Young Rider Clinic series, that was a great way to start because you were able to ride with top trainers. I participated in one of those in 2008. So that was really helpful for me to really ride with a big name trainer for the first time. And then moving forward, I found out about the convention that USDF holds every year. So I won the Youth Convention Scholarship in 2011 and was able to go to San Diego for that. They also had a symposium that year as well. So that was also really educational, being able to watch all of the riders and see as they moved up the levels throughout the clinic and what they were able to do. Because at that time, I was also trying to train my young horse at the levels. So that was really helpful for me to see that. And I also won the Youth Volunteer of the Year Award in 2012. And that was from volunteering at my GMO. I was also starting to volunteer with the USDF programs and help with the Youth Programs Advisory Subcommittee. And I was fundraising for the Dressage Foundation because I had gotten a few grants and scholarships from them. And I'd also participated in the Young Rider Olympic Dream Program, is what it was called at the time, through the Dressage Foundation. So much of that was just trying to get more education, get as much knowledge as I could about the sport and what it took to make it to the highest levels. And I think that was a really good way for me to lay the foundation for me, because then a couple of years later, when I was competing at a higher level myself, I was able to find success, I think, from all of that, grunt work, you could say, that I did at the beginning.
Now, as you said, you've always taken every opportunity for education, that Kat, and it seems that you've looked at the different opportunities as part of a career path for you, as if you have been very focused on where your career in dressage is going to go, not just in competition, but also in leadership and being an example to other young people in terms of volunteering and all the other things that you can do around the sport that will benefit the sport itself, give back to the sport, but also help build those blocks towards your career, not just in the arena. Talk a little bit about what your big picture looks like in the sport.
Yeah, for me, I felt like growing up, I always had a lot of help from other people. My family did well, but obviously dressage is a really expensive sport. So, you know, it takes a lot to get to the high levels. So I was always working at the barn, trying to find different opportunities that I could, you know, help pay for my training and also just help my parents out in any way that I could. So in that, you know, you have to have people that are willing to give you those opportunities, people that are willing to let you ride their horses or groom for them or, you know, clean their tack and that sort of thing. So I was always really thankful for the community around me, both in Arizona when I grew up there and then also moving out to California as well. I feel like the community itself was always really supportive. So that was a big thing growing up that I felt like, okay, you know, my goal isn't only to have success for myself as I get older, but it's to be able to give back to the community in some way, because I feel like I've really gained a lot from that. And just the connections that you make with people, I think, is really special, because the way I think of it is, at the end of the day, you know, when you're older and you're done with the sport, everyone's not necessarily going to remember all of the medals that you won, but they're going to remember the kind of person that you are. And I think that's the legacy that you want to leave behind, is being a good person, you know, trying to help others, trying to do as much as you can to not only benefit yourself, but to benefit the whole community. So that's been definitely a main goal of mine growing up. And it's been really fun to see what comes out of, you know, your own volunteer time and you giving back, because then it just makes others more willing to help you. And I feel like everyone becomes more generous, and it's definitely you feel like a team effort moving forward. You know, everyone's helping each other, and it's a really special experience, I feel like.
Well, you are a wonderful role model for other people, young people, and obviously the volunteers are needed all the time to keep the sport going. Which of those pieces that you've been learning through the USDF youth programs have you most enjoyed?
I feel like being able to help others and also find myself along the way. When I was younger, I was really shy growing up. So this has really given me an outlet to kind of evolve as a person as well, and gain confidence in myself and also, you know, gain respect for yourself and for others. Also, I think it's made me more confident in bringing other issues to light. So last year, I came forward with some issues that I had been struggling with growing up. You know, it's easy for people to look from the outside and say, oh, you know, you've been really successful. You've had this and that and everything must be great. And I've been really lucky and grateful to have a lot of amazing things happen in my life. But I've also struggled with different things as far as eating disorders. And then also I lost my young rider horse Chance that I'd had since I was 12 and really suffered a lot with depression from that. And it was just a really hard time in my life. So from all of this work that I'd done in the community, I felt safe to come forward with those issues. And in doing so, I hope to help others that might be going through the same thing, because, you know, we all have different struggles and we all have different things that we have to work through, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. So I think that by doing all this volunteer work and by building that sense of community, it made me feel comfortable coming forward with my issues and then hoping that others would feel the same, that we could all help each other through it, you know?
So you enjoy a leadership role then, because clearly you've taken initiatives in terms of developing your own skills and education. Is that something that now you have the confidence to take forward and to be a leader thanks to the USDF youth programs?
Yeah, I definitely think they transfer to, you know, every aspect of your life. You start out thinking, okay, I want to better myself as a dressage rider and, you know, see how far I can get in the sport. And by doing so, you know, if you participate in the programs and you really give your all to it, you start to, I think, develop as a person, not only in the sport, but outside of it as well. So all of the leadership that you gain from it, all of the confidence, all of the respect, all of the determination and the hard work, all those skills, you know, transfer to every part of your life. So whether you do go on to become a professional dressage rider or trainer, or you go to some other, you know, task in life, if you decide on a different career, you know, you have a different path than the sport, all of the skills that you've developed are still going to help you in life no matter what. So I feel like that's a big thing too, is you can just grow so much as a person by going through the programs and learning a lot about yourself and then transferring that to every part of it.
Absolutely. So many transferable skills within equestrian sport. And so finally, Kat, if you had to summarize the USDF youth programs and advise young people to take a look at any one of those, what would you say to them from the ones that you've been involved with?
I really feel like, you know, all of them have their different assets. For me, I've really enjoyed being part of the Youth Programs Advisor Subcommittee through USDF, because you kind of get your foot in the door about different ways to get involved in the community and what it takes behind the scenes. Because that was another thing I really realized is, you know, if you're just a competitor, you go to these shows, you get to reap the benefits from the different programs, but you don't really understand everything until you experience that. And I think going to the USDF convention the past several years has really opened my eyes to that side of it as well. And then just really being a self-starter, you know, seek out educational opportunities and scholarships and different programs that can help you become involved and really get a start. Just even volunteering at shows and clinics can lift your local GMO for different opportunities they have if you can volunteer on their board and just start small, you know, and build your way up. Definitely the different clinics that USDF provides are really helpful, because you get access to top trainers and you get to meet other youth in your area, which I think is a big thing for dressage riders, because there's not a lot of young riders usually in one area. So if you can go to those clinics, you can meet others that are in your local area and start to make friends and, you know, find other people that share your same passion. And then I just, you know, always love the North American Junior Rider programs. They are just so much fun. You learn so much. You learn how to set goals. how to really set your whole show schedule with, you know, the specific goal in mind, how you need to pace yourself and your horse. And then just really how to be a teammate, I think, is a big thing, you know, because you're not there only for yourself. You have your whole region to support. And whether you go as a groom just to help out the riders or you go as a rider yourself, you know, all of it is just an amazing experience. And I think that's definitely something that's incredible if you can have the opportunity to go there, you know, no matter what you're going as a groom, a rider, you know, a trainer one day. It's just an amazing opportunity.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot now. If you could pick a role in the sport when you're not competing and, you know, later on in life, as your career develops, is there something that you would particularly like to become?
I feel like if I could become sort of a mentor for youth coming up would be great because, you know, like I said before, all of these skills that you're developing don't pertain only to dressage. They really help you in every aspect of life. And so if I can help young people, you know, whether they go on to have a successful career in the sport or they go on to just be a successful person, you know, in their own right, that would be really special to me. And just trying to give back in that way, because I feel like, you know, as I said before, this community and the sport has really helped me as a person. And, you know, if I can help other young people growing up to find themselves and to feel more confident in themselves and really find their place in life, I think that'd be really special.
Well, you certainly are an inspiration and a role model already, Kat, and made a wonderful contribution to the USDF's programs and, of course, to inspire young people to do the same and come up through the ranks as you have done. And before your voice completely breaks, we'll let you go. But I want to thank you very much indeed for taking the time to come on the program, and the very best of luck with your career.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And in our training segment, the USDF young horse coach Christine Traurig is here to tell us about the importance of starting young horses correctly and with advice to young dressage trainers. This is an excerpt from the 2016 USDF-USEF Young Rider Graduate Program.
I find it wonderful that the USEF and the USDF are working so closely together to bring all this information to you. We all have to be so appreciative of how hard our national organizations in the sport work for you guys to have access to quality information. So, the Young Horse Program is something that is very dear to my heart because we are so fortunate to have these wonderful animals in our lives. And when we talk about the Young Horse Program, it is that we have, when we start a young horse, we have a great responsibility towards that animal. Yeah. The very beginning from the first day you start handling that horse in relation to tack, lunging, and then finally the first time a rider gets on their back are one of the most important days in that young horse's life. If that is not done correctly, that affects that horse forever. And it's very, very difficult to overcome. Of course, skilled training, of course, and experience allows a rider to deal with it. But it is very important that the message for this Young Horse Program goes out to everybody that every stage, like we always say, from 4 to 5, and then, of course, beyond, is so important that we develop a product that finds a very useful purpose and brings to all aspects of our sport in this country. And like I said before, that is in many ways. But the better we are able to do so, the more will our sport flourish in this country, in all aspects. Let me be straightforward with you. How often do you know that trainers, I got to go to Europe because I got to find a young rider horse. I got to find a horse for my amateur. Yeah. Oh, I gotta look for that top horse. Now think about it. If we all know that this is the country where nothing is impossible, then we should be able to do that right here. Right here. Yeah? If you are educated about what you are looking for in a horse, and you are educated in as far as how to develop it is concerned, and produce it, then we can do it right here. That brings, that makes the industry and the sport grow. And we all know everybody has to make a living. So the better you can bring along a young horse, the better of a chance you have is placing it with somebody, competing it, selling it. You might even bring one along so beautifully where somebody gets interested in saying, wow, I would like to sponsor you with that horse. Yeah? And those are, it all starts with developing quality. And it starts with the young horses. See, and therefore, the more you develop your skill in training a young horse, developing a horse, and not just schooling a horse that already knows a lot, the better a chance you have to produce your own or be associated with somebody who says, well, I have a young horse, and I need to find a good rider for it. That could be one of you. But it is important that you learn to ride a young horse. And it happens way too much that that the young people concentrate on the competition aspect and being learning how to ride an exercise, but not learning how to train it. And what the conditions are that you need to provide yourself with in the horse as far as fundamental and basic understanding of aids with regards to the scale of training is, yeah, to develop the exercises. A lot of the young people, they can ride through a pre-St. George, but if they feel there is the quality of the movement is not there, then these young people, they have to learn why. What am I missing? So that we are not just producing competitors that are very good at navigating from letter to letter, but that can really beautifully develop an athlete. I can give you an example how lucky I was, and really lucky. When I was married to Bernie Traurig, we were training. We had one of the top jumper stables in the country, and we were training the daughter of the Haas family, Elise, because she had the goal to go to the Olympic Games. She put off college, and she wanted to go to the Olympic Games. Well, I always had dressage horses, but I also rode a lot of jumpers on the flat and made them rideable, equitation, put a flying change on the runner, ride the jumpers, the adjustability, the gymnasticizing flat work. I was very involved in that, and I loved it. I loved it. I would have never gotten Etienne if I would have not paid my dues and put my work in to make the horses rideable for the daughter of the Haas family. They did that because they were very grateful. So, I just wanted to tell you, luck is when preparation and opportunity meet. That's what it was in my case. Luck is when preparation and opportunity meet. So, that is how Etienne came into my life. I hope that all of you look for an avenue in the business, in the sport, in the industry, where you make the horse the top priority. Be responsible and be accountable also later in your teaching. When I teach, it's about the horse first. The horse first. If you teach like that, then you have a chance also to make the rider understand what to feel in the horse and what to look for. The horse comes first, always.
And our thanks again to the USEF Young Horse Coach, Christine Traurig. And finally, we have a few reminders for you for youth and young adults. July 1st is the deadline to enter the USDF Arts Contest, which has three age categories, 15 and under, 16 to 21, and adult. July 31st is the deadline to submit the paperwork for this year's Youth Dressage Rider Recognition PIN program. And August the 31st is the deadline to apply for a Youth Convention Scholarship and to submit nominations for the Youth Volunteer of the Year. September 5th is the deadline to apply to be the USDF National Nominee to the USEF Youth Sportsman's Award. September 30th is the deadline to apply for the 2018 Young Rider Graduate Program, which is being held on January the 13th and 14th and is open to USDF members ages 20 to 28. Make sure to check the USDF education calendar for dates and locations for the fall USDF Junior, Young Rider and Youth Clinics. And the forms for all of these programs can be found at the website usdf.org. And for more information about the USDF program for youth and young adults, please email youth@usdf.org. And that's it for this week's episode. Don't forget you can download this podcast from the iTunes podcast store to any podcast app so you can listen to the show on the go. And be sure to follow us on social media on Facebook and Twitter for when the latest episode is posted. And for more educational resources and information, don't forget to visit eTrack on the website at usdf.org. Until the next time, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.